My scripture reading is in Matthew, so let's turn to Matthew 13 and start with the first verse. I'm going to do some skipping around different places for our scripture reading, but we're starting with Matthew 13, 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, but because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Let's go down to verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sowed, upon whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And I'd like to skip down to verse 36. "Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares and the field.' And he said, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age." Excuse me. "The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And Heavenly Father, we know that it is words of truth and it's words of life. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on each one that's here. We ask for this word and the thoughts that we express. We ask that they be heard as you would have. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will bless all of the thoughts and the words that is to come. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask, and amen. I'd like to go to a text, and the text today is taken from Psalms 126 and verse 5. So let's look at that. Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Today my message to you is about sowing seed. It's about confidence in God. It's about faith in what will and what God will do with the faith that we have in Him. My message is entitled, Be a Seed Sower. Be a seed sower. Do you see the confidence that is expressed in that verse in Psalms that we have? Obviously, when you read that verse, you know that this is talking about a person that may be down, but they're not out, far from being out. They are a person that may be afflicted, may have things that is really troubling them, but yet they have not let this overcome them. You have not quit. You're out there. You're working. You have faith in God to bring about the results that you know He will, with the faith that you have Him, in Him, and with the seed that you are sowing. You would not be out there, perhaps in the hot, grueling sun, you would not be out there working and sowing your seed if you had quit, if you had give up, if you had decided it's just not worth it. You are sowing, and you are out there sowing in expectation that God will bring about the increase. Sowing seed, expecting fruit to come. It's possible that the words of our text were read by Jesus Himself and were well known by Him and was an inspiration to Him. He understood His mission in terms of sowing good seed of the Word of God in the hearts of the people. He also considered those who received His Word and became His followers as the good seed of the kingdom of God. The words of our text came from the Old Testament, from Psalms, and they serve as a type of commission to personal witnessing on the part of the people of God. They contain, and this verse contains, precious promises to those who give themselves to the task of sowing seed of divine truth in the hearts of those that open up their hearts and their minds to receive that seed that was sown. Personal witnessing is perhaps the most neglected form of Christian service. And this could very much be normal and almost natural timidity, a feeling of spiritual unworthiness, the defeat, or rather the fear of making a mistake by saying the wrong thing or whatever. Or perhaps it may be a lack of training or experience. Or it could be due to spiritual laziness unconcern, or just a preoccupation with seems like hundreds of other things that gathers the attention of everyone, from the very smallest and youngest to the oldest of us. We can be certainly that also, we can be certain that the devil himself also is there to do all that's in his power to keep us from the task of sowing the seed and spreading the gospel in the world. Perhaps we would do a much better job of sowing seed and evangelizing if we viewed ourselves as seed sowers rather than soul winners. You know, it's very much a common thing to hear in churches today of being a soul winner, bringing those that are lost to God. And for sure, that's what we want to do as an end result. But you know, they've got to hear the Word of God to be brought to that point. So sowing seed is so important. In reality, soul winning is the work of God rather than man. As we start our Christian life, we ask for and receive the Holy Spirit of God, and it blesses our personal witness as we become bold enough to do that. The Holy Spirit helps our witness to be received by those who hear. The soul, the seed sower places himself in the best of position to receive the fulfillment of God's promises. And God, and then the Holy Word of God is a book of God's promises. And to claim the riches of God's promises, one must ultimately have the goal of reaching others for God. That is, saving, seeking to save the lost from sin. And it's for sure that the unlimited resources of heaven are for the use and benefit of those who serve as servants of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. Let's go to Matthew 28 and verse 18. And let's look at that. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Do you believe it? All authority, Jesus said, has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Where would that have come from? He didn't just take it himself. It came from his Father. It came from Yahweh. Yahweh gave to Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Is that a promise? Jesus says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of all that we see and know as this natural earth that we live in and natural human beings." The seed sower is in the proper position to receive the fulfillment of God's promises. Secondly, the seed sower is assured of the presence of the living Christ. Matthew 18 and 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." The seed sower is assured of the presence of the living Christ. And in Matthew 28 and 20, we read, "Lo, I am with you always." Two promises there that Jesus makes. I'll always be with you. You won't ever be alone, as you are mine, and I am yours. You won't ever be at a moment without me. He is always present. Let's go to Hebrews 13 and 5. Hebrews 13 and 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Do you believe it? He is there for you. He will always be present in every situation, in everything that comes to you. He is present to commend. He's present to convict. He's present to counsel and to challenge. He's present to give courage as that is needed for life situations. He is to convert the unbelieving. As you sow the good seed, the seed sower can enjoy the peace of being in harmony, that is, in tune and right in the presence of God. The seed sower will be positioned exactly right to receive God's promises. He won't ever have to worry about God being there for him and Jesus Christ being available at all times in life situations. He will be assured of Jesus' presence. And therefore, he will know that he is in harmony, in tune with God's will. A Jewish rabbi wrote a wonderful book that was entitled Peace of Mind. And Billy Graham was author of a book titled Peace with God. When you really think about it, tension comes when a man's life is not in harmony with the will of his Maker. Peace of mind and heart comes when there is a coordination, an agreement, an in-tuneness between our will and God's will. Never are we so close to the center of God's will as when we are busy at the task of sowing the seed of divine truth in the hearts of those who have not yet discovered and have not opened their minds and hearts and ears to that divine truth that we all know and love. Are we in tune with God? Are we singing off of the same page? If not, we need to get our minds and our hearts in tune with God and what He has, not only for us, but for us to sow the seeds of truth so that others may have the opportunity to receive. The seed sower renders life's greatest public service. And this is by being a teacher. Jesus Christ, as he left and went back to the Father, he gave instructions to his disciples and his followers to go into all the world and take the news, the good of the kingdom of God to everyone. And it's just unbelievable that there's so many of us that don't give what God gives us to give to others. We're all a type of teacher. Some a lot better than others. God wanted us to be a type of teacher that is a seed sower, a truth spreader to all of the world. And the value of that could be compared to a good physician who only goes about trying to do what he can to help those that he comes in contact with, those that need help. Above and beyond the mental and the physical service is that rendered by the individual who sows the divine truth in the heart and in the minds of those that have not yet heard it. There's no greater service that can be rendered in this life other than to be that good follower of Jesus Christ and do as his words is given for us to do as his followers, go into all the world. Sow the seed. Families are blessed. A man is changed into a Christian husband and father. A woman is changed into a Christian wife and mother. And the seed that is sown and comes to the children, then eventually serves blessing another whole family. The greatest honor and glory that we can bring to God is to lead someone to trust Him and to yield to His life. Yield to a life that's centered around God. The seed sower is assured of eternal rewards. Let's go to Daniel 12 and 3 and read of this. The seed sower is assured of eternal rewards. Daniel 12 and 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Do you see how important it is to be a good seed sower? To spread the divine truth of the living, loving God and His Son who gave it all for each one of us. That master plan would be effected. That all that turn to Him in true belief and sincerity and who undergoes the transformation from the natural to the spiritual, that undergoes the rebirth that Jesus spoke about, that they would truly have eternal life, that they would be assured of being saved, of getting the inheritance that is coming to the children of God. Eternal rewards. And the only way we can do that is to render our time and our talents, our treasures, testimonies, render that in service to God. What about rewards in the here and now? We were speaking about rewards in the hereafter, eternal rewards. Our text declares that the seed sower shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, that is, the fruit that comes from the sowing of his seed, brings that with him. Let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 1. Philippians 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. The Apostle Paul is letting us know that the seed that he sows, the increase that comes of the seed that he sows, was considered by him to be his joy and his crown. And so should it be for us. A prize that we seek, that we long for, and God certainly grants it. An unusually close and warm relationship is created between two individuals when one gives and the other receives the word of truth about God's love. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you see? You become the seed sower. It falls upon different people, different circumstances. The increase depends on you to the extent that you sow the seed. You spread the divine word, but God causes the seed to germinate or not, depending on the circumstances. God gives the increase. If we think that somehow it's going to be a result primarily of something that we do, then we could go through our whole life looking for the seed to germinate, and we never reap the benefits of the harvest because we think it's all wrapped up in what we do. But Paul makes it clear. You sow the seed, be a good seed sower. Be a seed sower, but know that it's God that gives the increase. Only God can cause the gospel seed to germinate in the hearts of the ones that open up their hearts and minds to him. Our task is to sow the seed joyfully and willingly and hopefully plentifully, expectantly, that what God has promised will be complete and fulfilled. The seeds will germinate. The good seed will come forth, and those sons and daughters will be gained to God's kingdom. God has promised us the joys of reaping a spiritual harvest if we will just busy ourselves at sowing the seed. I'd like for you to, if you would, to stand with me, and let's read our blessing together. Our blessing of God to us and us to each other. Let's read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Let's bow our hearts in prayer.